Good afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser, and you're tuning in to Juno Afternoon. We have such a great show lined up for you today. We're going to hear from Kyle Wiley-Pickett about Saturday's Juno Symphony Motown concert, which is going to be super cool. I can't wait to hear about it. We'll hear about the extensive bake sale for the King Island Christmas that's happening to tour to Scotland this summer. And we'll talk to Kim Winicky with the Atlin Arts and Music Festival. And we'll finish up, as we do with every Thursday, Arts Up, and this week Catherine Hatch will be filling in for Nancy DeTourney to talk to us about all the happenings around and about town. And before we jump right into Juno Afternoon, let's take a listen to National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Environmental Protection Agency is inspecting properties on Acoma Pueblo in New Mexico for radioactive materials. As Tristan Autone reports, the assessment is one of numerous being conducted in the Southwest and in Indian Country.
Since 2009, the EPA says they've been doing structural assessments of properties near former uranium mills and mines, including the Navajo Nation, Laguna Pueblo, and now Acoma Pueblo. In the case of Acoma, many tribal members worked in uranium mines near the Pueblo, and the EPA says they're concerned that those miners may have brought radioactive materials home from work. The EPA's John Reinhart says companies may have failed to alert workers to health hazards associated with unused ore, and that those materials often wound up in homes or even as decoration.
From what we understand is that early on it was waste material, and a lot of times when you want to make a repair at home, you just grab where the material's available, and they may not have let them know that this could have been a problem to bring and incorporate into their homes.
Reinhart says the EPA will only be screening homes and properties for uranium ore and will not be involved in any sort of health evaluations. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autone.
A team of scientists, health educators, and Alaska tribal health organizations are testing the healing properties of traditional medicines. As KNBA's Jocelyn Estes reports, a recent class in Anchorage focused on plants used by Alaska Native people.
Marianne Lila is director of the Plants for Human Health Institute at the State University of North Carolina. She's been studying plants Alaska Natives have long used in traditional healing. She says Alaska's climate prompts plants to make chemical defenses that help people with everything from diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and obesity to cancer.
The only defense the plant has is to make this melange of different chemicals inside of itself to protect itself against the environment. A plant can't move, run away. It has to face the environment, and it does so only through its arsenal of chemical defenses. Alaska is one place where the plants are under such stress that they are really jam-packed with these health-beneficial phytochemicals.
During a two-day class, students, elders, and scientists learned how to test for antioxidants, antibiotics, and other healing properties. The idea is to boost understanding of the effectiveness of plants as food and medicine, and to perhaps uncover replacements for pharmaceutical drugs or find new cures for diseases. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Jocelyn Estes.
Over the weekend, Douglas Pocknek Jr., a Wampanoag tribal member, delivered his high school graduation prayer in his native language. According to the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe, Pocknek is the first student at Mashpee High School to earn credit for demonstrating proficiency in the tribe's language. He graduated in traditional regalia at commencement ceremony Saturday in Massachusetts. The 18-year-old plans to attend Cape Cod Community College. Other Native students across the country have been denied tribal traditions and dress at graduation ceremonies this year. A South Dakota school district denied students' request for an honor song, and an Alabama teen was denied her diploma after wearing an eagle feather. A same-sex couple married by a Michigan tribe are invited to the White House this week. According to the Associated Press, Tim LaCroix and Jean Barfield will be guests of President Obama at a reception honoring LGBT Pride Month. The men were married earlier this year by the Little Traverse Bay bands of Ottawa Indians. Barfield marched in Washington, D.C. 20 years ago and returned his military medals because of the former Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. The state of Michigan does not recognize same-sex marriage. During this month in 2012, the Justice Department's Office on Violence Against Women announced agreements to cross-designate tribal prosecutors for four tribes. The tribal special U.S. attorneys would pursue violence against women cases in both tribal and federal courts. The Pueblo of Laguna, the Fort Belknap Tribe, the Winnebago Tribe, and the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe were the recipients. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, with funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company, Native Voice One, the Native American radio service.
Hold it. Listen.
And that's a little Temptations for you there, because we're here today to talk with Kyle Wiley-Pickett and a new to the Juno Symphony, Sarah Radke Brown. Thanks so much for joining us today to hear to talk about the symphony concert coming up.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So this is, we intro the interview with Motown, and we were just talking.
This is not your everyday symphony concert promo piece.
That's right. So can you tell us, the symphony concert is on Saturday. Can you tell us a little bit about, what was the impetus for Motown?
Well, I cannot wait for this concert. I got to tell you, this is one of the most fun symphony concerts that you're ever going to hear. And, this is the end of the 50th anniversary season. Actually, we have one more chamber concert, but the last big
right.
symphony concert of the 50th anniversary season. And, Motown's we're right around that 50-year mark, too. And
I guess it is.
Yeah, we're right around, 63, 64. We're right in that time frame. A few years back, I got a last-minute call from the Santa Rosa Symphony down in the Bay Area to come in and conduct a Pops concert they were having. And they said, it's a Motown concert, you want to do it? And I said, sure. And, I'm a child of the 80s. I never listened to Motown.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't. I listened to, Depeche Mode and The Cure. The 80s. So I started prepping for this concert, and I can't get next to you is one of the first songs. I'm like, this is fantastic.
It's so amazing.
This is great music.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did the concert, and it was one of the most fun concerts I've ever done. It was with, and this one will be with, a group of guest artists that go by the name of Spectrum.
Okay.
And it's a group of four singers, the four guys, and they're kind of a Temptations or Four Tops tribute sort of group. And they have their band, which is their piano, bass, drums, and guitar, who come with them. So it's eight guys total who come.
Oh, wow.
Eight guys total, decked out in their purple suits. And.
Oh, yeah. They're decked out. They do the whole thing.
Do they do the Temptations Four Tops?
Oh, they do the whole thing. They've got the moves. Oh. They do the dances. They do the thing. And the symphony backs them up.
Oh,
so
wow.
we're the biggest backup band in the world
is the
symphony, and part of what I like so much about it is the symphony is a perfect thing to back up Motown, because Motown had that, they always had strings and they always had horns, and so it really works. It doesn't sound like we're kind of a fake pop group.
Sure.
it really works well.
So how is the symphony here is, of course, mostly local people, mostly Juno folks. How is the symphony responding to the Motown?
they're liking it. They're having a good time. It's a little bit, our Pops concerts have been a lot of different things over the years. We'll do Broadway, or we'll do, we've done movie music, John Williams, all sorts of things. But this is the first time we've done pops in the way that a lot of orchestras do pops, which is to bring in a, you know, some sort of headliner, and then we back them up. And so part of what's a little bit different for the symphony is we don't get to work with them until Saturday morning.
Oh, wow.
So they fly into town tomorrow night, and then Saturday morning we rehearse, and then Saturday night we do the show. And, you know, our players are used to a little more rehearsal, a little more stability of, okay, we know this is all together. And so it's really going to be, you know, one and go. And but these guys are such pros. The guys from Spectre are such pros. They're great, and so the players are gonna we're having a good time. I mean, we're having a good time prepping it, and it's gonna be really fun to play it.
So this is at it's at Centennial Hall, right?
It is.
Okay, and what time does it start?
Yeah, and we should point out Centennial Hall. That's not our normal venue.
Exactly.
Usually we're at JDHS, but we're at Centennial Hall at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. And the reason that we're in Centennial Hall is that so many people heard we were doing Motown. They said you've got to have a dance floor, and we can't do that at JDHS. So we set up a dance, so there's going to be seating and a dance floor and a bar and Motown and big giant TV screens. You know, this is not your everyday symphony concert.
That's incredible. And this is all because, you know, we're celebrating 50 years of Juno Symphony here in Juno.
50 years of Juno Symphony,
and
yeah.
What an amazing way to top it off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Sarah Radke-Brown, welcome to town. And I did want to give a huge shout-out to Val Snyder, because this is actually her closing concert with
the
symphony.
This is her closing concert. That's right.
Yeah, and she's been there quite a while.
Yeah.
So, and she's the executive director, for those of you who haven't known that. So she kind of takes care of the stuff. And Sarah, you're the new incoming director here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Came from Indiana University, and my husband got a job here, and I said, I looked around and I said, yes, Juno's perfect. I love the art scene here. It's just booming and a lot of activity. And I mean, what more can you ask for in terms of a beautiful place to live? So super excited, very excited about working with the symphony and going forward from here. We're going to miss Val, but I'm very glad she's not going to be very far.
She will be, right?
She'll be just across the bridge. But it will be very exciting to see what happens the next few years.
Great, great.
Symphony.
So how many folks are you expecting at the Motown concert this weekend?
Well, I know that we've already sold more than 700 tickets at this point.
And, awesome.
Yeah, which is pretty good for Thursday. And so get your tickets. You know, you want to get your tickets. You want to be at this show.
I mean, this is
really people should get their tickets pretty soon. They can get them online, you know, at the Jack, at Hearthside, you know, the normal process. There are a couple things that are not normal. Obviously, Centennial Hall is one of them. I don't do a pre-concert talk. I don't feel like one's necessary for the Motown show. we'll let the Motown speak for itself. And it's Saturday night only, no Sunday matinee.
Okay, so it's straight up. How many people can you fit into this concert? So
I think we can fit 1,000. We were over at Centennial Hall, so even with the dance floor and the seating, we can fit about 1,000 in there.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and so we hope to actually have pretty close to that.
Can you tell us, you don't have to give us too many, but just give us a little taste of what songs, because I just get excited.
Motown makes me very happy. I know we do My Girl, we do Under the Boardwalk, we do some James Brown, I think we do It's a Man's World.
Righteous Brothers,
Unchained Melody is in there, I know that. What are some of the other, the Four Tops, Bernadette.
Oh, what a great song.
Ain't Too Proud to Beg, that's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Love that number. Can't Get Next to You's in there. It's the hits. I mean, it's the big hits.
Great. So you can get your dance on this Saturday night.
Exactly.
Starts at 8 p.m. You're going to want to get tickets, you know, now, because it sounds like
get them soon.
Filling up. So you said in your 50th year celebration, you have one thing left to go. Do you want to tell us about that real quick?
Yeah, we've got a concert right at the end of the month. Do you remember which day, Sarah, off the top of your head?
The 29th and 30th.
29th and 30th. And that is the pianist Alexander Tutinoff, who many people in Juno know because he's played with the symphony a couple times, and then he did the masterclass series out at UAS.
Right.
And so he's made himself a fixture here in Juno over the years. And he is playing with our own Franz Felkel, who is, as most people know, a Juno native and
won the concerto competition for the symphony a couple times, grew up here, is just graduated from UAF in Fairbanks in violin performance, and so the two of them are going to play a concert at the end of the month, and it'll be a wonderful
Sounds
show,
like a real
too.
Treat.
Yeah, not Motown. No Motown,
the Motown
in that concert.
The Tutanoff, concert.
No Tutanoff on the Motown.
Well, great. So thanks so much for coming to talk to us. Do you want to give us one more time the dates, or the date, and actually the time and where we can get some tickets?
Saturday night, 8 o'clock at Centennial Hall. And the weather, it's supposed to be so hot, you won't want to be outside. You want to come into the nice, cool, you know, air-conditioned Centennial Hall.
Right.
And
that's the night away.
You know, don't get sunburned. Come inside. Come see some Motown. Dance floor, a bar, you know, lots of seating. It's going to be a great concert. So
it's
Saturday night only.
Yeah, sounds like such a great party. And congratulations on your 50th anniversary here in Juneau.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Another day, another night, I long to hold you tight, 'cause I'm so lonely.
Back to Juneau Afternoon. You really want to check out that Motown concert here coming this Saturday night with the Juneau Symphony. And my name is Shona Strasser. Welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. And here in the studio with me talking about King Island Christmas Bake Sale. And I took a look at this bake sale, and wow. Emily Lockie is here, and Sharon Gaiman. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, my gosh. It's my pleasure, especially since it's Emily's project, and I'm just going to sit here and listen her to her talk about it. Yay!
Yay!
So, Emily, tell me about this bake sale, because it's just really not your ordinary bake sale.
Well, yeah, the bake sale idea came, I actually traveled to France in 2006, and I organized a very similar bake sale back in 2006 to earn money to go to France, and I thought that we could apply the same principles to our fundraising for King Island Christmas.
Okay, and cool. So what kind of bake sale is this? Because it's like bake sale on steroids. It's really, really quite amazing.
Well, the concept is that it's a pre-order bake sale. So if you know you're going to have an event like a birthday party or a picnic, instead of running to Fred Meyer and picking up one of their small pies or just going to any of the stores, you can let us know approximately 1 week in advance. what you would like to order, and we have a wide selection of things to order from, and you can also even put in special requests because we can bake more things than what are written on our piece of paper. So, and then you order it, and we bake it for you the day before so that it's nice and fresh, or even the day of, depending on the timing. And it's either, depending on each order, you can pick it up, or we can deliver it to you.
Okay, so when, I have so many questions, because actually, baked goods are so good. When does it, when does it start? Can you start it now?
Yes, it is starting now.
And how do people get that form?
Let's see here. They can call me or email me. My phone number is 500-4588. Or they can email me at crazylatindancers@gmail.com.
Okay. Can you say that one more time? Because we want to make sure people get the info. Yeah.
So my phone number is 500-4588. And my email is crazylatindancers@gmail.com.
Okay, and so can you tell me, can you get the mouth-watering radio audience, get them in tune here about what's actually on here? Because, and Sharon, I know that you dig this, there's some gluten-free stuff on there too.
Yeah, you know what, it's not that it's, there's going to be gluten-free stuff. People can order. We can try to make it if it's not on this list. But also, Emily's assured me that she'll go out of her way with her team of bakers to accommodate most any food allergy. If somebody can't have dairy, say, or eggs or whatever, she's really going to try to find the recipe to make it work so we can make it work for them.
And that's awesome because that's not like every bake sale either.
No,
I mean,
no.
You know.
We come from a family that has a lot of allergies, so it's important to me to be able to have everyone enjoy baked goods.
Got you. So what are some of the very tempting delights that you have on here?
My favorites are always the coconut cream pies and things that have chocolate. I make these super fudge brownies, and they're not normal brownies that are cake brownies. It's like a combination, kind of halfway between a brownie and fudge.
Mm-hmm.
And those are my favorite ones.
Now, do people get to take dance lessons from you afterwards to
hey, if they want
work
to.
All this off?
Yeah, exactly.
Gosh, it sounds so good.
And so it's not just, you know, a bake sale. It's a bake sale with a really important purpose. And so what is the really important purpose here?
Well, I guess that's where I can come in. We are in the final stages. We're about to raise, we hope, our last $25,000 so that we can move 40 people from Juneau to the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. We have 6 performances coming up in Edinburgh from the 6th through the 9th. And we also, Sean, I might point out that coming up at the end of July, we have Christmas in July, and we'll be performing the show once on July 26th, then a sing-along King Island. We're expecting you in the audience. King Island Christmas on the afternoon of the 27th, and then that evening will be our final performance before we take off for the global stage.
Wow.
It's
wow.
Pretty exciting.
That is amazing. So there's
excited.
40 people.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know those numbers were so high.
Yeah, and you know,
fabulous.
Everybody in the cast has stepped up to the plate and has kicked in a portion. But in addition to their travel expenses, you know, Shona, you're a theater person. Who knew what went into producing a show at the Fringe? You just kind of go, oh, I've been there. I've seen it. I can do it. And I guess that's kind of the spirit of King Island anyway. we're just going over our own little mountain right now and
that's
trying
fabulous.
To get that umiak over the pond as well.
Oh, that's that's fabulous. So you've said you've got $25,000 to go. You've
yeah,
got
about 25.
Christmas in July, but the big thing coming up right here and right now is this fabulous bake sale.
Yeah.
So, and can you tell us, so it's not like just going to the grocery store and you see a bake sale that's there in the grocery store. It's actually a pre-order bake sale.
Yes. Okay. We're doing bake sales where you come and there's baked goods there on Fridays for the food truck Fridays.
We'll be at the Symphony on Saturday night.
Yes.
I mean, we don't miss a beat. Trust me, Shona. And there's things probably, you know, like Deb Smith makes this incredible rhubarb cake. And so it's like a crumble. It's so amazing. I just had three pieces because I adapted it to gluten-free. It is so good. And those are the kind of things that if you want something like that, Emily will go, oh, sure, let me check with my bakers. And we'll just produce it. So, yeah, it's such a cool idea.
It is a really cool idea. How many weeks is this going on for? So,
you know, I think
on the press release, on the PSA that you probably have close by, I hope, we said we would take orders till 2 weeks before we go to Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. And then when we get back, we'll start again. But, assuming that we just love baking so much all the time, and who knows what expenses await us once we get there.
That's so true. And so who's your team of bakers? Do you have them all lined up? And
right now?
I'll just jump in for you. It's pretty much anybody in the cast who likes to bake. We're just putting everybody to work.
Yeah, we're all working together in this, and it's been an amazing experience because we've literally become the community of King Island Christmas, working together to get over our own mountain to get to the Fringe Festival. And it's been great to get to know each other better by doing this.
And so what happens? An order comes in and you say, okay, I'm going to call this person because this person makes these fudge brownies that are the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to happen. It could be five times a day.
Yeah.
I mean,
wouldn't that be beautiful?
We would love that.
Oh, my gosh. We'd figure it out. You know, we would just figure. Yeah.
And there is one thing that I made for the tour dinner that I didn't put on this list, but it is a triple-layered Almond Joy cake. It's a chocolate cake that is filled with coconut and almond frosting in the middle, or icing in the middle, and then it is smothered in chocolate ganache and topped with almonds and coconut. So specialty desserts such as that. If you can think of it, please let us know and we will do our
I'm
best to make it.
I'm thinking something like that would be perfect for like when the students perform at Star, like to have something like that at the reception afterwards, Shona. I mean, people should think of brilliant ideas like that.
Well, and it's also, you know, how many dinner parties do we have in June?
Yeah.
How many barbecues?
Mm-hmm.
And Father's Day is coming up, so we've got a lot of things
going.
Right. So tell us the contact information one more time here.
Okay. My name is Emily Lockie, and you can call me at 500-4588. Or you can email me at crazylatindancers@gmail.com.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Sharon. Thank you so much, Emily, for coming in to talking
Thank
about
you.
This fabulous bake sale. And great. Best of luck to you on all your baking adventures.
Thanks.
Juno afternoon, and thanks for tuning in. My name is Shona Strasser, and online with me via phone from Atlin, we have Kim Winicky with us. Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And Kim is here to talk with me. She's not actually here. You're over there. Here to talk with me about the Atlin Music Arts and Music Festival.
That's great.
Yeah. So this is actually just, I think, one of the greatest events of the year. And can you go ahead and tell us, just right up front, and we'll hit it at the end, too, what are the dates of the festival this year?
This year, it's July 12th to 14th.
Okay, it's July 12th through 14th, and what are some of the biggest highlights we've got?
Well, we've got art and music and film and authors this year, so it's really multidisciplinary, and most people want to hear about the musicians. So our headliners this year are Harry Manx, who's a wonderful world musician. He blends Eastern music, Indian music with the blues, and it's very beautiful. And he'll be doing a solo set and another set with a great guitarist named Kevin Bright, and he's just amazing. We have the Gibson Brothers, who are top of the heap bluegrass entertainers of the year, songwriters of the year, and really, really great musicians. We have Hoxley Workman, who's an independent singer-songwriter coming up, and he's just so charismatic on stage. And we also have Michelle Wright, who's a platinum-selling Country Hall of Fame music star. So we sort of hit all genres, or we try to hit many genres of music. We bring up 14 acts, and there's lots of dancing and songwriting, and then we have children's programming. It's a family-friendly festival, so there's lots for children and youth to do. And we really encourage families to come up. Kids under 12 and under are free, and youth 13 to 17 are half price. So, yeah, bring your families.
Wow, that sounds like a really great and affordable way to have a fabulous vacation in BC.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And it's not that far from where you guys are once you take the ferry, right? So once you're in Skagway, it's about a two and a half, maybe 3-hour drive, depending. And camping is included. And it's just a really interesting energy at this festival. It's not frenetic. It's calm, but a lot of fun, and everyone just walks around with smiles on their faces. We have the UConn Film Society programming films all weekend long, and there'll be a dance group that's coming up, and they have the live music being played and storytelling and dancers, and in the background they're painting murals, and they'll be doing art workshops. So there's just a little bit of everything.
Oh, wow.
It's very eclectic, yeah.
Yeah. So what's the, so you said most of your artists, are they from BC, or are they?
No, they're, this year we have two from the United States. So we have the Gibson Brothers, they're from upstate New York and Nashville. And then Michelle Wright's based out of Nashville. Many are from Eastern Canada. We have some Celtic musicians and old-time fiddlers, like an old-time fiddle dance band from PEI, which is on the Maritimes and on the Atlantic coast, mm-hmm. coming. And then several bands from Ontario, several from BC. It's really, we started out with a lot of local being Yukon and Northern BC artists, but we've matured into having national, being Canadian national talent, and international. So the name of this festival is spreading. We have people who have no reason to come to Atlin but for the festival, flying in from Ontario and, you know, the southern Canada. And lots of people from Southeast are starting to come out too, which we love to see, and people from Anchorage are coming down. So, yeah, the word's spreading, and we're really happy about that.
Oh, that's great. So what are some, you know, the mural painting sounds fabulous. What are some of the other, and besides the movies also, what are some of the other arts events happening during the weekend?
Well, we have nine visual artists coming up. So we have someone doing felting workshops where she felts wool into little animated creatures, and so people can sign up to do that. We have Raku pottery. We have several watercolor and oil painting workshops. We have, I'm trying to think of something We have a metal sculptor coming up who takes salvaged metal from the dump and creates ravens and other sculptures, and he'll be doing workshops on how to do that. We also have a great local artist, Don Weir, who is just amazing, and he'll be doing a watercolor workshop. So, and then we have workshops, art workshops for kids as well, that will be, you know, way less structured, right? But they can participate. And we have youth 13 and up, I believe, can participate in several of those art workshops, because we really want to make sure there's lots for the youth to do as well.
Yeah, so speaking of the youth, what other kind of activities that they can do? Art workshops and...
Art workshops. We're going to have beatboxing workshops. That's going to be really fun. We have a writing workshop that they can participate in. Next year, I'm hoping to have a youth stage or building or venue where for one day there can just be youth activities there. So we're sort of building towards that, but it takes a little bit of time and partnership development, so that's mm-hmm. on its way. But I think the beatboxing workshops are going to be really popular. And then I think we're going to also have a guitar workshop for youth. I'm just trying to negotiate that one with one of my MCs right now. So.
Oh, great. And so as far as, is it an outdoor venue? Is it a bunch of different venues? What can people expect?
So the main festival grounds are in a ball diamond, and we have a huge tent that has a capacity of 2,500 people. So that's totally, it's outdoor, but inside a huge tent. So weather, inclement weather doesn't really affect us. And our other venues are totally enclosed, too. We have one venue is the Globe Theater, which is a historic building, which only seats 96 people. And it's really intimate and a great way to see acoustic music. And then we have a lake stage, which is on the shores of Atlin Lake, and it's beautiful. And that one seats about 600 people. Excuse me. And it's totally enclosed as well. So there's walking through this. Atlin is a small town of 300 to 400 people, and there's a lot of historic buildings, and people just walk from one venue to the next. They're all within walking distance of camping, and it's that people are just weaving through the town streets from venue to venue.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And as far as, you know, you said, is it something that the whole town participates in? Are there other activities kind of centered around the festival going on in town?
The town is really supportive of the festival, and most of them are volunteering or operating their businesses trying to accommodate the 2,500 people who descend upon the town. So the Courthouse Gallery we open up the upstairs and we exhibit the visual art of our local talent, our local Atlin artists, as well as the workshop and demonstrating artists at the festival. So that's a collaboration. And then there's also a mini marathon and a marathon. Oh, I think it's a half. I'm not a runner, but there's a mini marathon that takes place on the Sunday as well. But the whole town is just alive with festival goers. Yeah,
that sounds fabulous. Is there a website where people can get more information?
Yeah, the website is atlinfestival.ca, and there's information about how to buy tickets. You can buy tickets online right from our website. I'll say that we're only selling 1,800. We've decided to cap our festival. We don't want to grow anymore because our town is small, and we don't have the infrastructure to really accommodate any more people, and we want to maintain the intimacy of our festival. So 1,800 tickets, and we've sold over half of those already. So I'm encouraging the folks that want to come to buy earlier, so no one's disappointed. Tickets are $120 in advance, and if there's any left, there'll be $130 at the gate.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Kim. It's really a pleasure talking to you about the Atlin Arts and Music Festival. And can you give us that website one more time so we can direct people there?
Sure. It's atlinfestival.ca, and if people have any questions, my contact information is on the website as well. I'd love to talk to people and hope to see lots of people from your way coming up to visit us.
Great. Well, thank you so much. It's nice talking to you, and here's a little Harry Manx for everyone.
Great.
We'll be playing at the Atlin Arts and Music Festival. And after a few announcements, we're going to hear Thursday's edition of the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor. And we'll be right back with some more Juno Afternoon.
I'll hear that KTOO and the Prairie Home Companion are teaming up to invite Juno folks to the Fitzgerald Theater for a live broadcast on September 21st. Join fellow listeners to meet Garrison Keillor and the cast and visit beautiful downtown St. Paul. Our KTOO travel package includes 3 hotel nights, airport transfers, tickets to a show, a special reception, and a tour of Minnesota Public Radio.
Make your plans now. Visit anniversary.ktoo.org to learn more.
This is Bird Note. This staccato call tells us there's a yellow-billed cuckoo nearby. One of 2 species of cuckoos in the woodlands of North America, the yellow-billed lives in broadleaf forests throughout the east and riparian stands in the southwest. They were common breeding birds in the Pacific Northwest as late as the 1920s, but then they disappeared. Ornithologists still don't know why. The black-billed cuckoo is a more northerly species that lives in dense woodland, even conifer forests. Cuckoos perch quietly and scan their surroundings for food. Hairy tent caterpillars, shunned by most birds, are often on their meal ticket. So, if you have an infestation of tent caterpillars, you might see one of these slender brown and white birds with long white-spotted tails. The cuckoo plucks a caterpillar from its tent and manipulates it back and forth in its bill, taking off many of the bothersome hairs. But some of them remain, and cuckoo stomachs are sometimes lined with these hairs. When the hairs are dense enough to prevent digestion, the entire stomach lining is cast off and regurgitated. Nature finds surprising ways to deal with problems. If you have a few minutes to take a listener survey, we'd like to hear your thoughts about Bird Note. Are we on target with you? Your answers can help shape future programming. Let us know at birdnote.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, June 13, 2013. It's the birthday of writer and teacher Mark Van Doren, born in Hope, Illinois in 1894, a poet and a critic who won a Pulitzer Prize for poetry, but perhaps best known as professor of literature at Columbia University, where he taught many students who would go on to become important American writers. It's also the birthday of poet and playwright William Butler Yeats, born in Dublin, Ireland, 1865. He lived during great political and social changes in his home country, but he spent much of his life obsessed not with politics, but with mysticism. When he was 20, he and a group of friends formed the Dublin Hermetic Society in order to conduct experiments into the nature of ghosts and psychic powers. He got involved in the London Theosophical Society, also joined the Order of the Golden Dawn, a group that performed a variety of ancient magic rituals. seeing the performances of mediums and learning about reincarnation inspired him to study Celtic myths and folklore. In 1889, he met Maud Gunn, a beautiful actress and an activist who spoke out for Irish independence. She became the love of his life, and though she refused his many proposals of marriage, she believed that they were spiritually married, that they could communicate telepathically, and that they had been brother and sister even in a past life. Maud Gunn helped Yeats gather folklore from the peasants and to learn about ancient Celtic culture. Yeats came to believe that if he could get in touch with the deep mythic history of the Irish people, he could pull the country together with the power of poetry. He spent many years writing plays about Irish nationalism for Maud Gunn to star in, but by 1910 she had married someone else, and Yeats had given up on trying to win her love. He said, "We make out of the quarrel with others rhetoric, but of the quarrel with ourselves poetry." And here's a poem by Edward Field, Hydra. "This island, whose name means water, never had gods and temples as other Greek islands had. It never was the home of monsters with ferocious heads, and maybe it wasn't even there. But a few centuries ago, as though it had just risen from the sea, men saw stones and pine trees on the slopes, and with the stones made houses, and with the trees made ships. And as naturally as fish swim, the ships went sailing. And as naturally as the sun rises, the boys grew into heroes and sailed to war. But the heroes were foolhardy, as heroes are. So although they were brave and did amazing things, the ships were sunk at last, and the handsome heroes lay on the ocean floor. War's over, fame won, the island settled down. But with the trees all gone, the soil blew away to sea. The houses began to crumble, and the island bleached in the sun to anonymity. The name means water, but now even the wells are drying, and no one expects the rock to grow trees again, while the waters push gently on its shores, waiting for the island to sink quietly back in the sea." Hydra by Edward Field, from After the Fall, published by the University of Pittsburgh Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. And by the Wall Street Journal Weekend Edition, offering writing about finances, food, art, wine, and culture from around the world. More at wsj.com/celebrateweekend. This is Billy Collins for the Writer's Almanac, hoping you will join us next time.
Hi, this is Tyler Tullis. I'm a student with the CARES Summer School Program. Please join me and other CARES students as we share our podcast about biology on Focus on Community this Monday night at 7 on K2 News Juno. Thanks.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shauna Strasser. Thanks so much for tuning in on this fine Thursday. And as we do every Thursday, we talk about art stuff. And instead of Nancy DeCherney this week, who I think is out of town or something, we have the fabulous Catherine Hatch. Thanks for joining us.
Hi there, Shauna.
Hi. So, you want to take us through all the fabulous fine arts events that are happening. And actually, it's all events, really, isn't it?
Pretty much. We have a full, complete calendar on our website, and here we've just got some of the highlights of the week coming up.
Perfect.
So if you can knock off work early today, you will catch the tail end of Gold Town's Filipino Film Festival. It's been playing all week. You get four fabulous films. Get this for only $10. Or you could just go to one for $5. They've got the Machete Maidens Unleashed is one of them.
Sweet.
Followed by Graceland, Don't Stop Believing, Every Man's Journey. And then one that I can't really pronounce, but it's C. Agamet Etsy Enteng Cabisodi. So something like that.
Okay.
And if you miss it today, that's okay, because it'll be playing, as I said, all the way to Sunday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. just about.
Cool.
And then otherwise tonight, Gold Town's also playing the Sapphires based on a true story. It seems that Motown Fever has really hit a high pitch here in Juneau, because this is all about Motown.
Oh, it is the Sapphires?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's in, you know, in coordination. I wonder
the,
if they...
Juno Symphony.
Yeah,
we'll
totally
see about that.
Probably.
And then at 10 p.m. tonight, there's a rainbow fashion party for in honor of Pride Month at the Viking Lounge. So come colorful and expect surprises, supposedly.
Cool.
Friday, Flag Day. And we want to see you out in your red, white, and blue, especially if you're living in Douglas. The Juno Douglas Volunteer Firefighters will be out there to judge you. Not in a mean way. There's actually a contest going on. That'll happen in the evening, so have everything all decked up patriotic style by 5 p.m. and get your name on the list there by calling 586-2936 to get a prize, although it might just be bragging rights. I'm not really sure. That should do for people in Douglas. Again, you'll catch the Filipino Film Festival at noon at Friday. Like every Friday at noon, we've got the free organ concert at the State Office Building.
I love that organ concert.
Isn't it nice?
It's really beautiful.
Yep. Great way to spend your lunch. Just grab a round bag and get out there. We have the last day of the Summer Olympics Camp, which is for youth ages 8 to 13 at the Zach Gordon Youth Center. At the low price of $80 that week, it's 1 to 4:30 p.m. Then, Friday, work ends, weekend starts. Food Truck Fridays at the Jack. This is
Food
the second week we're
Fridays.
Doing it. We're doing it all summer long. This week we have three artists. We've got Cray Van Kirk, who's kind of a singer-songwriter, Alaskan Luau, and then Carl Reese. And it's free people. Free music, food trucks. Got to pay for the food, the food trucks. But and we're mixing it up today. We're hoping it's going to get back to that warm, sunny feeling we had yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. And we're inviting people to come out for our mosquito market at the Jack. Now, that's kind of, as you'll know, our Alaskan-style flea market. Come and park at the Jack. It's $5 if you want to be a vendor and you sell right out of your truck. It's free if you want to buy things. So come on down and shop. Listen to the free music. We'll have all sorts of artists there for arts and crafts, face painting, all sorts of good stuff. Call 586-2787, 586-ARTS, for more info on that. And we'll be doing that every Friday. But the mosquito market is only by good weather. Let's see. If you want to see things from the top, go to the Timberline up at the top of the tram there. This Friday and Saturday, Tom Locker on piano, Wayne Norlin on saxophone and bass clarinet. If you want to stay downtown, a nerdy night. We've got the Corporate Challenge sporting the Lego League team robot building competition. Now, they've already signed up all the teams,
right?
So it's all ready to go. It's free to watch it. We're going to have teams of people building robots and programming them in that two-hour time. We'll see what comes out of that.
Where's that? That's
awesome. Going to be at the Baranoff Hotel from 6 to 8 p.m.
I've seen that before, and it's really fascinating. It's a great thing to just actually watch. I mean, I'm so not mechanically inclined, so I'd love to watch
Me
other
either,
people
but
do that.
Who knew? Legos, not just for stepping on and screaming.
Exactly.
We've also got the Sapphires again playing at Gold Town, and at 8:30, Chrome Forest live at McGivney. So come on down for music and fun times. Saturday. Get up early. We have the 8 a.m. Juno Audubon Society Bird Walk. That is free. Just head down to Brotherhood Bridge and don't bring your dog because of the birds. But they will give you extra binoculars and you can go and learn all about our fauna here in Juno. Again, you've got the Filipino Film Festival. At noon, don't miss the Rhubarb Festival. That'll be down at the Community Garden Pavilion. And people are bringing in rhubarb dishes to share and tell stories about rhubarb, I guess, but rhubarb is delicious.
Where
in all
is
forms.
That?
That is going to be at the Community Garden Pavilion. The address for that is 5669 Montana Creek Road.
Oh, it's the Valley. It's the Valley Garden Center. Got
That's
it.
That's right.
Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So,
cool.
Tis the season for rhubarb in all forms. And at noon to 3, the Father's Day Miniature Golf Tournament at the Nugget Mall. This is free, and there are tons of great prizes available. So come on down for Father's Day and putt-putt.
But that's on the Saturday, correct?
On Saturday. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Saturday afternoon. At 4 p.m., there's also going to be a block party out in the valley. Emmanuel Baptist Church is putting that on. But it'll be free. There's going to be a bouncy house, lots of food, games. Come on down for that.
All you really needed to say was bouncy house.
Exactly. Maybe do that before you eat, but either way. As I mentioned before, live at Timberline, Time Locker on piano, Wayne Norlin on saxophone, bass clarinet. It's every evening, most weekends. We've got the Sapphires again, and then, as we were mentioning earlier, Motown finally, with Juno Symphony's Motown concert. They've been building it up. There was the barbecue last weekend. Everybody's got dancing fever. And now, at Centennial Hall, tickets still available. It'll be this Saturday at 8. You're encouraged to bring your dancing shoes, and you can get tickets at the usual ticket outlets. From what I understand, the guest artist that they're bringing along is Spectrum, and they've been selling out concerts all across the country. So you don't want to miss this, folks. And who doesn't like Motown?
That's true.
And then, of course, I'm sure you'll be at the 80s prom fundraiser. Is that right, Rona?
Well, you know.
Or do you have a conflict there because you'll be playing at the...
I might have a conflict. But the 80s fundraiser is Saturday night. It's prom, right?
It is, yeah. And it's not just any prom, Shona. It's 80s prom. You know what that means. Blow out your hair. Get on the blue eyeshadow. Wear the poofiest dress you can find. There's going to be a full bar, so 21 and over only. But we've got that good Alaskan Brewery beer coming. This is happening at the Jack, and it's a fundraiser for what? Public radio. If you're listening, then you know we need it.
That's right. It's KXLL, which I have to mention right now is also doing their pledge drive. So... you know, you can also, you know, it's a fundraiser for KXL. You can check that out, Saturday's prom. And then also give them a buzz here, 586-3636.
Yeah, and then maybe you want to do a plug for the Susan and the Prophets. That's happening 8:30 at McGivney's.
That's true. We're doing some music out at McGivney's, at the new McGivney's bar out in the valley.
Yeah, so come on down for that. They've got live music almost every weekend, and they really mix up the program. So
every weekend. It's super fun. Yeah, it's a great little place.
Good. That brings us into Sunday. Every Sunday at 11 a.m. at Rockwell, you can find the weekly ukulele jam. Anyone is welcome to come, all levels. They just jam out, and you can listen or join in either way. We've got the last day of the Filipino Film Festival that day. Also the last day to catch Sapphires, but they have three different showings, 4, 7, and 9:30 p.m. All of that's happening at Gold Town. And at 6:30 at the airport, a free concert by DNR, the Campfire Acoustadelic Group. That's down at baggage claim. So whether you're picking someone up, dropping someone off, or just want to hear free music, come on down to the airport and check it out. Something
and
we're going to
really
be doing.
And they're really great. DNR is fabulous. So acoustic, it would be fabulous to hear them, yeah.
Exactly. It's all acoustic, and it'll be we're having these free concert series at the airport every Sunday, 6:30, all summer long. So it's definitely worth checking out. And that's the end of the weekend.
And, you know, Sunday is Father's Day, actually. So hitting some events on a good Father's Day is it's always nice to do with your pop.
And if it's free, even better.
Exactly.
Monday, we've got the third part of Kids Sewing Camp that's put on by Rain Tree Quilting. And this is, I think they're going to learn to sew pajama pants or something. They've learned the basics in Camp 1 and 2. And for $150, you can get rid of your kid all day because it's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and bring them back as seamstresses. Or seamsters. I don't know what the male...
It's probably a seamster.
I got to get a dictionary. But, it, yeah, three-day camp, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. They'll be sewing up a storm. If sewing's not your game, forget the needles. Pick up your poles. We've got Fishing Friends Camp. Will be the camp of the week at the Zach Gordon Youth Center. That is every afternoon next week from 1 to 4:30 p.m. for the low price of $80 a week. Learn all about fishing, and maybe you'll catch something. Not me, but...
That's a score.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? The Kings are in fishing range,
jumping.
Shore fishing range, yes.
7 p.m., the only showing of The Good Son, The Life of Ray Boom Boom Mancini at Gold Town. This is part of their Gather Film series, which is a pretty cool thing where you get to preview films before they come out in the rest of the nation. So brag to all of your friends, the lower 48, that they haven't seen this yet. So that's going to be a good one. It's only on Monday at 7 p.m. And then that evening... all month long, more or less, they've been playing Mud at Gold Town. Did you get a chance to see that yet?
Awesome.
Awesome. It's been getting rave reviews all over the place. It's very rare that Rotten Tomatoes gives a 99% approval rate of a movie, but here they've done it, even though Matthew McConaughey is in it. And it's not
even
normally...
Even though.
Not normally a reason for good reviews, but this is supposed to be his best film ever, even if that's not saying much, but to add to it, it's supposed to be really the best film of the year, probably, and really going to change your life, melt your heart, something like that. Make you cry. So go and see Mud. It'll be playing Monday through Wednesday, and I think this is your last chance to see it.
Exactly.
So if you haven't yet, people are going to see you at parties and judge you if you don't. So, you know.
And you don't want that. Right.
You want to be able to at least pretend and quote a few things. Tuesday, this kid's sewing camp, as I mentioned, all day, and the Fishing Friends camp in the afternoon. This is going to be fun. The Marie Drake Planetarium is presenting their retro sci-fi movie of the month, Fantastic Voyage, and this is free. So if you're a fan of sci-fi, and even better, if you're a fan of that retro vintage, you know, didn't have the best computer graphics back in the day, retro sci-fi, then go on out to Marie Drake Planetarium. If you don't know where it is, it's right next to the high school, so down on Glacier. And yeah, free movie. What can be beat?
That sounds great.
After that, more showings of Mud at Gold Town. Wednesday, sewing camp, fish friends camp, and also at 11 a.m., story time with crafts at the downtown library. Like all library events, this one is free. So come on down and make some stuff. Also at the library downtown in the evening will be the TEDx event. TEDx events are events that are independently organized outside of the TED department, but you watch these TED presentation videos and then you discuss them. So this week's topic or month's topic is communication, and they're watching four or five different videos about communication. There will be pizza, and it's free, and you just get to talk about the power of body language, the power of language, and what it all means.
Fabulous. And to find out more about all these events happening through next Wednesday, because we have it every Thursday, we hear from Arts Up, where can you get more information?
Please go to the JAHC.org, that's J-A-H-C for Juno Arts and Humanities Council.org. Right on the cover there, you'll see two different calendars. The little one in the middle is what's happening at the JAHC downtown, and on the right is what's happening all around town. And if you want your event on there, email it to us at junoartscouncil@gmail.com, and we'll get it up there, and we'll talk about it on the radio.
Great. Catherine, thanks so much for coming in and filling us in. I really appreciate it, as we do every week.
Thank you.
Yeah, and folks, coming up tomorrow, thanks for tuning into Juno Afternoon. And tomorrow's Juno Afternoon, we'll hear from about the Gustavus Inn from Joanne Lesh. We'll talk about Ham Club Field Day. Hello, that's great. And more from the Arts Council's Food Truck Friday and Music on the Fly for Sunday. You'll hear Writer's Almanac and, of course, more Bird Note, which I really love, and National Native News. Thanks for tuning in.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. The White House says Syria has used chemical weapons against its own people in that country's ongoing civil war. But as NPR's Larry Abramson reports, the White House has not decided how to respond to the crossing of the so-called red line the president has designated.
The White House says that after a review, it finds Syria...